You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wrapping up the week on the Locked On Syracuse podcast here on this Friday. Thanks for joining us. As always, Tim Leonard and Tyler Rocky here with you to get you set for Notre Dame on Saturday. Finally, looks like, fingers crossed, Syracuse is going to play a game. I know we jinxed it last time, but hopefully they get this game in because they're running out of games, Ty. They're running out of time to get...
They need this one.
Yeah,
They need this one.
They really do. And we'll have all things Irish with Joe DeLeon in a little bit. He is of the Locked On Irish podcast, and he sat down with Ty earlier in the week. So we will have that full breakdown, a lot of good stuff on what he thinks of the Notre Dame team from a guy that has been covering the team all season long. So that'll be in our second segment. We'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with prop shops and our prop shop and then picking the game as well. And we'll have DeBundo's digits at the end of this first segment, a little different order for Anthony DeBundo this week. But he, like us, did a preview podcast for no reason against Louisville. So now here we are getting ready for Notre Dame. And I think just off the top here, it's a must win, right? Or a can't lose.
It's win or go home.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing here is that you think about when this game was supposed to happen, or maybe not when this game was supposed to happen, but when they were first supposed to meet, Syracuse was well above Notre Dame in the KenPom rankings. They've actually dipped below them by a spot now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a game where KenPom views Notre Dame as the better team. Now, he has Syracuse projected to win 77-74, but that's really because of the fact that the Orange is home in this game. So that kind of tells you all you need to know about what's changed since these teams were last scheduled to meet up.
Notre Dame has won 6 of 8 in ACC play. They're 9-10 overall, 6-7 in the ACC, but it's almost misleading their schedule. And really, from a Syracuse standpoint, in this game, the guards have to step up. We say that every game, but in this game, you really need to step up because Notre Dame does not play a lick of defense, and there should be points to be had out there. I would guess this is a high-scoring game, but we can get into that a little bit more in the prop shot. But when you look at Notre Dame's metrics here, they're 141st in the country in defense, according to KenPom, yet they're 13th in offensive efficiency, according to KenPom. So both these teams are going to shoot a lot of threes. They're probably going to make a lot of threes.
Feels like Iowa light.
Yeah, right. And I do think I do think Notre Dame is a team that is a little bit better than maybe the casual observer of college basketball would think, because when you look back at even their games that they lost, they played a pretty tough non-conference schedule. They lost some close games in the non-con to some pretty good teams, and now I feel like they are playing some good ball, and they have a lot of guys that worry me from a Syracuse perspective defensively, but I do think the Orange can score in this game, and that's always a big talking point is, what are we going to get from Joe Girard? What are we going to get from Buddy Boeheim? I would guess that they are able to score against Notre Dame. And honestly, if you can't score against Notre Dame, then that's really a tough one for them.
It's a pretty big indictment. And just to kind of go into how important this game really is for this team. So Bart Torvik, the T-Rankitology team cast here that I've got pulled up. If Syracuse were to win this game, their chance of moving and getting an NCAA tournament bid elevates to 21%. If they lose, it's 14%. So
I thought it'd be even lower, honestly.
I'm with you. I kind of would think it would have been a little bit lower, but that just kind of shows you how important a game like this is. If Syracuse can pull this one out, because Bart Torvik has Notre Dame 3 spots higher than Syracuse. So the metrics really do like Notre Dame, especially with the way that they've been playing in conference. But Syracuse needs this win. And it's one of those wins where it's not going to get you into a quad one status, but it might be one of those resume sort of wins that the committee looks at the end of the year because, I mean, there's a world that Notre Dame is going to actually potentially have the better conference record than you.
Right. And Notre Dame, this will be a quad two win, and it'll probably hold as a quad two win when the season's over, but it's a good win, and I don't think any Syracuse fan should think that they can just win while playing like they did against BC or something like that. They got to play good in this game. On defense, there's going to be some challenges here. Notre Dame's got some shooters that can shoot from deep, so I totally agree with you. It's a must-win game. If they lose this game, our Monday podcast previewing Duke, like, I think we'll get in some football talk next week if they lose this game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, it's
not
getting
that bad. Maybe it's recruiting talk. How about that? Lax is playing this weekend, I'm pretty sure. So it might be a Lax recap podcast
right.
on Monday.
I mean, they hired an offensive line coach. We'll probably dive into that. They got a recruit last week. I'm kidding maybe a little, but gosh, you really need this win. And this almost just answer like, you can't complain about losing the Louisville game if you go and lay an egg in this game at home, because it's a must win at this point in the season.
And so. The thing is sure, you've got Duke on the horizon for Monday, but there's no look ahead games with this team. You drop this one and you're done. The look ahead thing right now, I mean, you could have said, oh, Louisville was the big look ahead game for this team. They're all amped up for Louisville, and that's why they didn't play very well against Boston College. Well, guess what? In this 2021 COVID world that we live in, that look-ahead game may not happen. So you can't get caught napping against some of the inferior teams. I know Duke is the big shiny object for you on Monday, but guess what? There's always the outside chance that game doesn't happen. And you got to focus on the game at hand right now. You can't fall asleep against Notre Dame because they could shoot the lights out on you and put up a W in your own gym.
No doubt. All right, let's get into more of the numbers around this game. This is a perplexing Notre Dame team in terms of how they score the ball, what they have on offense, what they have on defense, and Anthony DeBundo has us covered here with all his numbers on DeBundo's Digits.
The numbers you need to know. Anthony DeBundo breaks down the biggest stats for this week's Syracuse matchup.
Stats, everybody!
DeBundo's Digits.
If you ain't taking stats, take the class.
On the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
Based on 3-point field goal shooting percentage, Notre Dame is the second best jump shooting offense the Orange have faced all season. Only Virginia, who made 14 of 31 against SU on January 25th, is a better shooting team on the schedule. Notre Dame shoots 38.1% from beyond the arc, 27th best in the nation. They're 26th best from the free throw line, they rank top 15th lowest in offensive turnover rate, and have won 6 of 8 in the ACC since they started 0-5 in conference play. So while Notre Dame is great on offense, the Irish's defenses and rebounding are subpar. Notre Dame has the least efficient defense in the conference, ranking 141st, 13 spots behind lowly Boston College. They're in the bottom 10 in the country at forcing opponents into turnovers, and they don't guard the three well. Notre Dame has three players shooting above 39% from beyond the arc this season. Syracuse saw both sides of point guard Prentice Hubb in its two meetings with the Irish last season. In the first game, Hubb made 6 of 12 from 3, dished out 9 assists, and tallied 22 points in the Irish's win in the Carrier Dome. But when the rematch occurred, SU turned over Hubb 4 times and held him to 8 points on 3 of 10 shooting in South Bend, which was a Syracuse win. Hubb has the highest usage rate on the team. He is the second highest assist rate in the conference. The Orange have been playing their guards further down in the zone and close to the foul line to stop the high post entries and help Marek Dolezal in the middle. But Hubb can just shoot over the zone as a point guard, which Syracuse will need to adjust to. Notre Dame ranks pretty low in terms of minutes coming from the bench, so neither team is likely to be looking to their depth to decide this game. But one interesting note, the Irish foul at the lowest rate in the nation. Notre Dame's defense may be the least efficient in the ACC, but they don't really foul. No defense allows a lower rate of free throws per field goal attempt. So while Jim Boeheim is stressed the Orange need to be more aggressive in getting to the foul line, the Irish will be a tough matchup for the Orange to get free points. Despite Notre Dame's high rank last season, SU attempted 30 total free throws in two games against them. KenPom gives Syracuse a 58% chance to beat the Irish at home, with a projected score of 77-74. Bart Torvik gives the Orange a 59% chance to win by a projected 76-74 score. Make no mistake, Syracuse needs to win this game if it wants an at-large bid, and it's starting to look more and more like they may need to win all four of their remaining regular season games to make the NCAA tournament field.
All right, thanks to Anthony DeBundo. Go find his work over at the Daily Orange. Actually read his article right before this podcast. It was a quick what to know about Notre Dame. Some good stuff. It overlapped a lot with probably what you just heard on DeBundo's Digits, so we appreciate him taking the time. You can find him on Twitter at Anthony DeBundo. Up next, Tyler sits down with Joe DeLeon of Locked On Irish, and they give you everything you need to know about the Fighting Irish. Before we get to Joe, I want to remind you guys about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action right now. Good sports weekend coming up. Got a lot of college basketball games. Michigan, Ohio State on Sunday. That's a top four showdown. It'll be very, very fun. Good golf tournament, NBA, NHL, all in full swing right now. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Plus, when you sign up for that free account, don't forget our promo code LOCKEDON, all one word. It gets you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit over at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
We'll get to our conversation with Joe DeLeon from Locked On Irish in just a second. But first, get more of the sports news you need in less time. Our new Locked On Today podcast featuring Peter Bukowski, who gives you a complete breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from your local experts. Start the day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. All right. We're bringing in now Joe DeLeon from Locked On Irish, like I mentioned. And Joe, thanks so much. I know we did this one time already, had to scrap it all because the game was postponed. And this is the second meeting that these two teams were supposed to have heading into the season. Of course, just the first iteration. But I think we start with this. Rebounding is something that Syracuse really struggles with. And I think the rebounding hurts Syracuse more than the lack of defense does. How much does the Orange need to worry about this Fighting Irish rebounding attack?
See, Notre Dame's rebounding has been highly inconsistent recently. Nate Leshefsky is a fantastic rebounder because he's tall, he's long, he's playing that four position. Juwan Durham is the player who I continuously point to for if Notre Dame has a good rebounding game. If Juwan Durham's getting his butt kicked down low by somebody who's stronger than him and more aggressive than him, then Notre Dame is going to get smoked in the rebounding margin. But if he comes out and he plays a good game, typically Durham will play better against teams that have smaller lineups. And there have been some outliers, like when they played Ohio State, EJ Liddell is not a very tall player compared to Durham, who is a seven-footer. He did not have a very good game that day, and he also didn't rebound very well. It's all ultimately going to come down to, does Juwan Durham come to play? Does he rebound well? I can't pinpoint if Syracuse fans should be worried, but I would not be surprised if, because of the smaller stature of Syracuse's lineup, if Notre Dame had a good rebounding game.
I look at this team, and one thing that really worries me with Notre Dame is the three-point shooting. This team top 30 in the country, and Syracuse can have a tendency to make 30% three-point shooters look like 40% three-point shooters. And while there's no one really that's shooting 40% per se on this team, although I guess Nate Leshefsky has been quite the marksman for these guys, but they have a lot of very good guys hovering around 38, 39%. Who are the guys that Syracuse fans should be worried about defensively? Because that guy can knock down a three here. That guy can get hot and get going. Like, who are the guys that need to be marked as a part of this 2-3 zone?
See, that's what makes Notre Dame so dangerous and why they've been able to shock some teams and go up by 20 or have these big leads on weaker ACC opponents or even stay close against a team like Virginia Tech, is because pretty much anybody in their lineup can get hot. So what I mean by that is, like, Cormac Ryan rotates in and out of the lineup. Sometimes he starts, sometimes he's the sixth man off the bench, and he'll come off the bench and he'll score 27 points and be well over 50% from three. If Cormac Ryan's not having a good game, Prentice Hubb can step up. He's not the best three-point shooter, but he's one of those guys. Nate Leshefsky has been the most consistent, that if you leave him open, he is going to burn you. He is going to knock down those shots. Trey Wirtz is a pretty good three-point shooter. Nick Jogo has proven that if you need a spark off the bench, he's another guy that's a good three-point shooter. This is not a lineup that's built to create their own three-point looks, but when they get good ball rotations on offense and they can create just a little bit of space, they are very capable of knocking down pretty much any three-point shot, as long as there's enough room for them to shoot.
How would you say the ball rotation is with this team? Because that's something that really hurts Syracuse. One thing that we've seen with a team like Pitt is they'll march in, and then they'll just whip that ball around the perimeter, get the defense all out of wax, and then the rotations break down, and all of a sudden it's a wide open shot in the corner or on the wing. How good is Notre Dame at moving this ball?
They're very good at moving the ball. It's a team that has been, the whole time Mike Bray has been coaching this team, has focused on fundamentals. So they don't turn the ball over a lot when they have settled offense. They get the ball around quickly. They only make smart, efficient passes. The issues that typically arise more is guys taking shots that aren't really there. They're not going to make a questionable pass. They're not going to try and force the ball all the way across the court and possibly get picked off, or maybe try and force it down low and it gets picked off or knocked away. The biggest issue right now is Notre Dame taking shots that aren't there because nothing's opening up.
The thing that worries me about this Notre Dame team is Leshefsky. 6'10 guy, he can step out and hit the three. We've seen some teams go five out on Syracuse, four out, one in. I think this Notre Dame team is probably more of a four out, one in with a guy like Durham down low. How big of a mismatch do you feel like it is for to have a guy like Nate Leshefsky? Because Syracuse has struggled with the bigs when they need to, when they can step out and hit the three, because if you're rolling with four guys on the outside and Syracuse is kind of a little more compact on the inside, and you've also got a guy likely that you'll see at the high post for Notre Dame offensively. But how much do you, how confident are you that Nate Leshefsky can maybe not break this game open and give Notre Dame a blowout victory, but that a guy like Leshefsky can really put his fingerprint all over this one?
Yeah. The thing with Leshefsky is he has always consistently been a top two scorer on this team in pretty much any game. If they play poorly, if they play well, he has been the only real consistent player in this lineup. So you might have a guy like Prentice Hubb, who many expected to be a star player this year, be non-existent. And you might have other guys in the lineup have little to no impact, but Leshefsky will hit three or four three-pointers. He'll finish with over 15 points. I believe right now he's actually one of the top, if not the top, three-point shooting player in the ACC right now. So he's that dangerous. And the problem that you get with Leshefsky and that we have right now in college basketball is a lot of taller guys. There's not a lot of guys that are 6'10 playing that four spot in the ACC right now. There's very few teams that have players that are that tall. So whoever's guarding him, he already has a space advantage. He already has that extra room just because he has the length advantage. So I think the problem is here is who is the best and the quickest at defending, who can play the best out there on the perimeter, who can maybe knock him around. Cause he's not a, like a wide guy. He's not a very heavy player. If you can knock him around a little bit, I think Leshefsky's somebody that maybe not get rattled, but you can at least slow him down a little bit because he's not built to take that kind of contact.
These teams split their matchups last year. There are some pretty feisty games, some physical games. One thing that the Orange has struggled with traditionally, and I think it holds up this year once again, is teams that play very physical defensively. How would you assess the physicality of this Fighting Irish defense?
I don't think they're that physical. Juwan Durham is a really good paint defender. This isn't going to be a team that's knocking you around and creating turnovers that way. They're just going to try and cut down on space. They'll play some zone. They've been successful when they've done it. It's more so they win off of technique and fundamentals rather than trying to be a physical aggressive team. They're not built like that. If you look at the entire lineup, it's a very, very slightly built group. Even Juwan Durham's not a very wide guy. He's just tall. Most of these guys have good length. They don't have the size to have a physical presence from every single player in every single game.
Last one I got for you here. Defensively, Notre Dame, not the greatest. They're outside the top 140 on KenPom and defensive efficiency. What's been the biggest problem for this Fighting Irish defense?
I think the bigger issue that I've seen is transition defense. Whenever they're put into a spot where maybe they force a shot, they do not cover the floor very quickly. This is not a very fast group. So if you have any athletes and they're able to get down the court fast, they can probably get to the basket pretty easily. There is not a lot of guys on this team that cover the court that quickly that they can transition like that. The other thing too that has really screwed Notre Dame recently is they'll go up and then they will be pressed by whoever's playing them. They'll run a full court press, and Notre Dame for whatever reason cannot work out of that. So I think a lot of the points that they give up is because they're being forced to turn the ball over in less than ideal areas.
Those are both interesting points, because I think they're two components that kind of play in Syracuse's favor. The Orange loves to run. They're one of the fastest paced teams in the country right now. And then on top of that, We have seen Syracuse employ pressure in the past. It hasn't been a whole lot this year, but it's one of those things that maybe if Jim Boeheim has picked something up here or there about Notre Dame's struggles to handle a pressure situation, that's something that he might lean on defensively. So I'm intrigued to see how that plays out this weekend.
Yeah, knowing Jim Boeheim, knowing how smart he is, heck, when they played Duke, I mean, Coach K was smart enough to pick up on that and start doing that and start pressing. Any team that has relented and gave up a 15-point lead, they have immediately switched to a full-court press and said, all right, you know what, you guys are going to start running up the score and you're going to try and pull away. We're going to do the one thing that you're incapable of playing against. And you obviously can't sustain that throughout a whole game. But if Notre Dame builds a 10-point lead, I would not be shocked if a full-court press comes out, because knowing Jim Boeheim, he's probably going to have something like that ready to go.
All right, quick break to tell you guys about the best tasting protein bar on the market. You know it. It's Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar 2 is even better, because guess what? They're pumping out new flavors left and right, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia. The list goes on, and that's on top of the 12 already amazing flavors that they have in their inventory. It's almost like when the ACC added Syracuse. They had your classics like Duke, UNC, all those great teams, and now you're adding in a Syracuse, a Louisville, all that other stuff. That's what Built Bar is. They're just adding to an already great thing. The bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and if you're trying to maintain weight, gain weight, whatever it is, you can eat Built Bars because they are a delicious treat and they're perfect for any health-conscious person. They're low calorie, low sugar, and high protein. Just take the peanut butter brownie, for example. 19 grams of protein packed into that bar. So if it's the best way to reward yourself for a workout is by topping it off with a great tasting Built Bar, because it's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. And right now, go to BuiltBar.com and you can use our promo code LOCKEDON and you will get 20% off your next order. Again, BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order.
All right, time for the prop shop. We do this before every single game, and we just basically make some hypothetical picks here, and then we'll get into our score predictions for the game and a little bit more about the matchup at the end here before we wrap up the podcast. Update on the records. Actually, I don't even need to do that. We already updated the records earlier in the week.
Yeah.
I'm up.
You're up, I'm down. Enough's enough.
But let's jump into our first one.
You can tout yourself a little bit. You know, let the people know. You're 51-38 and you're up 19-30.
Okay.
My numbers are about the opposite.
Right. But hey, maybe it'll turn around this week. Our first one, Prentice Hub, JG3. If you remember last year, this game was awesome, the first game. And really, even the second game on the road, Syracuse won. Both road teams won last year. But there was a lot of trash talk, a lot of back and forth, and JG3, remember, hit some big shots against Notre Dame down the stretch. Would have had what could have been a four-point play in a lot of people's eyes to tie the game right before the buzzer, but no foul was called. Our prop here is just basically, will there be any carryover? Will there be a trash talk, a little fight?
Are they going to scrap?
Yeah, a little scrap. And honestly, I'm just going to root for chaos. I'm going to root for rivalries being born here. And I'm going to say yes, that there is at some point JG3 and Prentice Hub jawing back and forth. Because if that's the case, then I think Joe's having a good game and that's good for Syracuse too.
Right. I'm going to take it too. Prentice Hub loves to instigate. And I think Joe Girard, he also kind of likes to get after with the trash talking as well. So I like both of those. I think this is a no-brainer. Yes, there's going to be some sort of scrap between the two of them.
All right, as for Notre Dame, their leading scorer, Nate Leshefsky, averaging right around 15 points a game, very, very good shooter as well, and has a lot of size and can score down low. Kind of a scary matchup for Syracuse. Not a huge body, but he's put on a little bit of weight since he's gotten to Notre Dame. We'll set his over-under for points at 16.5 in this game, and I am going to take the slight over because I do think that they'll feed him a lot considering, and I just think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I think if I was given a lot of player prop overs, I would take the over in most of them in this game.
Right. 6'10", so he's a guy, a big guy, who's going to be able to shoot over the top of the defense. And I think that bodes very, very well for Leshefsky's over, especially if he's getting some of those straightaway threes. Good luck if Joe Girard's got to step up on him, if Kadari, if Buddy, whoever it is. So I like the over in this one. I'm going to take Leshefsky.
You know who really scares me is Dane Godwin or Goodwin in this game. I've watched him several times this year, and he has pulled from like 30, 35 feet, and those guys scare me in the zone.
Like the carrier logo guys, yeah. I think that we have to start targeting some of those. Listen, this Notre Dame team's got a bunch of shooters. No one, they're not like Baylor where they've got a bunch of 40% guys, but they've got a bunch of high 30% guys. I mean, Trey Wirtz, 39%. Dane Goodwin, 39%. Leshesky shooting 51%. He's one of the best in the country. Prentice Hubb, 34%. Nick Jogo, he's going to get in a little bit. He's 38%. So they've got guys top to bottom. Cormac Ryan, 36%. They can all shoot the ball pretty much except for Juwan Durham. But you're right. Dane Goodwin is one of those guys that we have to start kind of categorizing now, the carrier logo guys. Yeah. Guys who are going to pull from that little blue logo, and he's definitely that guy on this Notre Dame team.
The obvious who will go 5 for 7 in torch Cuse is probably Prentice Hubb if you had to pick, but that's my outside pick. I think that guy is just sneaky, a sniper, and the way that he can shoot from like NBA range is not good for the zone. That always is a problem, so...
They've got a bunch of those guys on this team that just have range from half court.
Yeah, this matchup scares me defensively for Cuse, but I think they're going to be able to score. As for who will lead the team in scoring, we'll run through the odds real quick. Alan Griffin, favorite, plus 155. Quincy, plus 180. Buddy, plus 265. JG3, plus 320. Marek, plus 520. And Kadari, plus 535. You know, I'm going to go JG3. They give up a lot
of threes. That was my pick, too.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm gonna tell you on this one because this is the game that he gets up for. This is the game where he's got a little rivalry on the other side of it, and he's gonna have the juices flung. He's got a 20-point game against Notre Dame in the past. It came inside the dome. This is his game. This is that gamer mentality that we've always expected out of Joe Girard. We're gonna see it come out. And also, Notre Dame, like you heard me talk about with Joe. Not a very physical team. It's those physical teams that get up in his jersey that are going to cause problems. And that's not what the Fighting Irish are this year. So I kind of lean with this could be a really big joke. You could point to anyone on the Syracuse team and you could say, oh yeah, it's going to be a big game for that guy or that guy. Guerrier might struggle a little bit because of Juwan Durham inside. But I really like Griffin, Buddy, JG3. And let's play the odds here. JG3.
Yeah, it's just a fun pick. I know it's not an actual comparison when I say this, but everyone compares him to Jerry McNamara, or at least they had high hopes. And he used to torch Notre Dame because of the Catholic school thing. And I just have high hopes that this could be kind of a rivalry in the making, or maybe it's just Joe Girard's Barama Sidibe Pittsburgh type thing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Everyone finds their beach. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's going to be a fun game. As for my score, I'll say 85-84 Syracuse. I think it's going to be close.
Ooh, okay.
I was torn on... I was close to picking Notre Dame because the three-point shooting does scare me and the fact that they can pass the ball.
Scares the crap out of me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a good overall... Like, it's not a bad team. I know they're not going to make the NCAA tournament at this point, probably, Notre Dame, but, I mean, they whipped Pittsburgh not that long ago. They're coming off wins over Duke and Miami. And the only thing is they don't really rebound the ball as well as they should for their size.
Right.
And they just don't have any defense. And I feel like Buddy and Joe are going to be able to put up numbers. And Alan Griffin will have a good game. So it's going to be high scoring. I think Syracuse just ekes it out. It's two good free throw shooting teams down the stretch as well. It's going to be a fun game, I would guess. But I think Syracuse wins at home.
Yeah, I'm going to take Syracuse 83-77 here. 6 may sound like a lot of points, but I feel like it's going to be one of those games where some fouls at the end make it a 6-point game, but in reality it feels more like what you're saying, a 1-2-3-point game. So I'm going to go with the 83-77 Cuse victory here. I think that the lack of rebounding from Notre Dame is really going to hurt them, and that's the danger of when you've got a guy 6'10 in Leshesky who hangs out around the perimeter a lot to get that 3-point shot. He's not going to be in there banging bodies down low to collect some rebounds that your team may need. So I think that's going to help Syracuse because Juwan Durham, as big as he is, he's not the strongest of rebounders. Like I really like Quincy's battle that he's going to have with Durham down low and even Marek because they're both kind of string beans. Now, I think Durham's like 230 pounds, so it may look like he's a little bit bigger, but he doesn't rebound like he's 6'11", 230. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. All right, that's going to wrap up our week here on the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Enjoy the game, and we will be back to recap it on Monday and get you ready for Duke. It's going to be a jam-packed Monday episode, so hopefully it's recapping a win. You can follow along at @LO_Syracuse on Twitter as we watch the game and tweet out our thoughts there. Please give us a follow, subscribe to the show, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.